to look at some words there in our second reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, at verse 4, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and so on. Today, life is changing so quickly and so dramatically. Just to take one example, we're all familiar with how widespread a mobile phone is. And yet, it wasn't just so long ago that mobile phones came into fashion and were invented. And the first mobile phones were as large as a building brick. And yet now, a mobile phone is as thin as a book and smaller than the palm of your hand. These are the kind of changes and developments which have come in so recently, and the speed of change is increasing all the time. We've got information available for us from almost any area we want to, accessible through a computer in the house. We can get it so quickly, what's happening in other places. And therefore, we ask the question this morning, who can tell what life is going to hold for young ones that are before us this morning? What kind of a society are they going to grow up and be in? It is difficult perhaps for us, let me say older ones, to try to understand what problems they are going to face or they have to face. What do they have to overcome? What kind of adventures will they be involved in and with? Where will the path of life take them? And what influences will they have, not only for themselves and their own immediate family, but what of the people who are before us here, growing up in Sunday school, being baptized today? What influence might they have beyond their own immediate circle? Where will they go? How far will they reach? We don't know the answer to any of these questions. It's very hard for us to imagine some answers to these questions. But before we go any further down that line, before we think of any of these answers, there's one great thing that we've got to face up to here this morning. Our responsibility, here and now, to young ones within our own family and as a congregation, within ourselves as a congregation. The book of Proverbs says to us, train up a child in the way you want that child to go. And when that child grows up, he or she will not depart from it. And so therefore I want us this morning to think particularly, yes, there's the prospect of so much stretching ahead. There's a path of life before young ones this morning. But let's think of our responsibility today. It is our responsibility as parents to set them on the correct path, to give them proper guidelines, principles, and standards to operate in their lives, and especially to set before them and point them to the great hope, not only for men, but for themselves, to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because no matter how life might be exciting, no matter how life might be inviting before them from this day onwards, there will always be a disappointment if that life is not built upon a good foundation of Jesus Christ. And although we're standing just after birth and at the threshold of days, and the whole scope of life runs before us, we must also put in this point that when it comes to the end of our days, if we have not instructed and if people are not facing life and death believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that will be a fearfully frightening experience when reality ultimately dawns upon them. The responsibility. Responsibility as a congregation to pray for young ones. Responsibility in the Sunday school for formal teaching. Responsibility for the minister to preach the gospel. All of us having input. But the focus primarily comes upon parents. And there is no substitute for a mother's tears. And there is no substitute for a father's prayers. I want then this morning for us to think of our responsibility as parents, particularly with baptism in prospect. Now, there are many things that we hand down from generation to generation. We all of us might hand down a little bit of our family history. You know, there was such and such a person in our family, and he was a notable man, and he had an influence in society. He did this in the village. He did this in the town. That kind of family history. Or maybe we've got a special crisis that the family has come through. There was something happened years ago. It involved this one and that one and the next one, and there was a conflict and there was trouble. We hand that down. We might hand down valuable possessions. You know, and we hand down clothing, or we hand down a particular memento, or we hand down something that's been in the family for years, something we hold on to. And all of these things are to equip the child that's growing up now to take his or her place in the family line. But there is something far more important than all of that. There's something that applies not only in life, but extends into eternity. We have a responsibility, yes, to pass down as much as we can of these things, but especially to pass down and to pass on. We need to tell our children about our God. That's what chapter 6 of Deuteronomy is all about. The details that are given there, even in brief form, of the lengths that people have to go to tell them, discuss with them, share with them what their God has done for them. Go just 2 chapters before our chapter 6. Go back to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. And at verse 9, and I read it again. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. And then importantly, but teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons. Here is Moses, here is God speaking to these people who have seen the great things that God has done, who have seen the great things of deliverance. They were involved in being brought out of Egypt. They were kept safe by God's intervention. God constructed them and set them up as a nation and a people, giving them laws and standards and rules for the good of their society. That's what they've seen. The things concerning God. And there the responsibility is laid four square upon them. As you've seen it, as you're involved, as you're partaking in it, now you have the responsibility. Pass it on to generations yet to come. And that brings us to chapter 6, where we are in the Shema that is given to us here. And notice what it says. It doesn't focus upon laws and rules and regulations. It doesn't focus upon the ways of doing things, rituals and procedures and traditions. This part of Scripture goes right to the very central issue. It says what? It speaks about the most important thing for you, for me, and for our young ones. It speaks about loving God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Nothing superficial to come into it. Everything in us, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with every department, every compartment, every pigeonhole in your life, has to be committed and totally dedicated to loving the Lord. That's the biggest and the best thing that we can seek for our young ones, for our own children, and for the children associated with us in the congregation. That they and we together would love the Lord God, and that we would follow Him. The way in which it's set out here, we can see the way in which it's supposed to be part of not only personal living. We are to experience it for ourselves, and then we're to pass it on to others. It's to be part of the family fabric. It's to influence the way we behave and relate to our families and to others. It's to mold our thinking. And when we do these things, when we speak of them and teach them and share them with others, then we look and we have a right to look to God to bless our young ones. Again, to turn to chapter 11 and verse 21. The phrases here and verse 9, chapter 11 and verse 19, we perhaps start there. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall write them upon your posts of your house and upon your gates. And then we come to this verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. The responsibility we have of teaching, instructing and molding, and the way in which we can legitimately look to the Lord to send blessing upon those that are ours and whom we have instructed and taught. But how's that going to happen? Let's break down and apply the responsibility a bit further. Today as children grow up, especially young ones now, their life is a big book with blank, empty pages. The life of a baby is a book. We don't know how long it is. But the pages at the moment are blank. But very soon, the impressions of society are going to bear down on them. And they're going to start filling in. Society is going to start writing in, filling in the pages of that book. And what is going to go on to the pages of the book and into the life of children, it's not going to have any very much Christian sympathy. And therefore, we've got to start right at the very beginning and quickly to mold and to discharge our responsibility. And there we have it, the very first way in which it can be done, in the very chapter we read. Here we have verse 20. When your son asks you, what do you mean by these things? When they ask about the statutes here. Or again, Exodus chapter 12 and 26. What do you mean by this service of the Passover? What do you mean by this great deliverance that you celebrate coming out of Egypt? Or again, in Joshua chapter 4 and 21, the question is asked, what do you mean by these stones when you crossed the Jordan and God brought you into the promised land? Minds of people are inquisitive. They ask questions. What do you mean? Why are you doing this? Where are you going? And these questions are an opportunity to teach and to instruct and to tell people the great themes about our faith and the great actions about our God. We tell people of what God has done for us, for them, bringing them out of Egypt. We tell them about the way in which there was the sacrifice of a great lamb and the blood applied to the doors, and the way in which that gave protection to those that were inside the house, and the way in which they were brought into the land that God had promised them. These are the things that are taught time and time again with each generation in the Old Testament. And we can see the way in which it applies in the New Testament also. We have a great Lamb in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He came into the world and He died on a cross. And we tell people about the cross. And we tell them about the gospel. And we tell people about protection and about forgiveness and of pardon underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. We see the Old Testament way of doing things. And we have the same opportunity on this side of the cross in the New Testament age and era of bringing the same themes, the same teaching into the lives of young ones today. Telling them about the best friend that they can have. Telling them about the greatest help in all of their need. Telling them about the source of wisdom for all the decisions they've got to make and the people they've got to meet. Telling people, laying down the principles in their lives, laying down the stones as the foundation of their living, equipping their minds and their souls with everything that is needed and necessary for a good, solid life. But not just simply equipping them, but also praying with them and praying over them, so that whenever they are in trouble and they are in difficulty, they might follow that same pattern and example also. That they might turn to the Lord and ask for the Lord's help, ask for the Lord's mercy, ask for the Lord's deliverance. That's the responsibility that we have. But one other element in that kind of instruction with the inquisitiveness of children. Yes, they go in, no, yes, they came out of Egypt and they went into the land of promise. And there was a great blessing from God there, but also in that land of promise, remember, they had to fight hard. They had to possess the ground and to possess the land. And also we've got to tell people that the Christian life is not an easy life. There's a battle to be fought, to be sure. Because out there, there's influences and forces militating against us. We have rules, the Geneva Convention, in warfare today. We have rules as to what is and what is not acceptable. But in the spiritual battle, there are no rules. There is nothing that is off limit. That the devil will use whatever is at hand and whatever is convenient in our life and the life of our children, seeking to spoil and to mar, to cause wreckage and havoc in what they've been told and instructed. These are the kind of things that we've got to instruct and tell people so that they might build upon a good foundation. And again, we're reminded of the very vivid and the very simple illustration that our Lord Himself gave at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've got to set the challenge before our children. What are you building on? Are you building upon a rock and stone, or are you building upon sand that'll work, that'll go away? There is only one foundation. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need the Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to trust in Him and follow Him. We need to know the pardon of His blood. We need to know the sanctifying work of the Spirit. There is only one foundation for life, one hope in death. We need to teach. And we need to take it to ourselves, first of all, as to where our hope is resting and where our life is going. The responsibility that is ours, then, to show them, give them the challenge, give them the example. The other illustrations come to mind, and they're so vivid from Scripture. There's the broad road, there's the narrow road. Which way, what path are they taking? There's always the attraction and the appeal of life now in all of its enjoyment and excitement. There's all of these people who are on the broad road and they seem to be enjoying themselves. But we've got to lift our eyes to the destination they're going to. And we've got to make people think ahead, not just think around themselves. And we've got to show people and tell people, and especially our children, where this path is leading them to and what it will bring them into. These are the kind of teachings, the old familiar ways, the well-trod paths, the images and pictures that we received ourselves. We pass them on to others. Paul, in the New Testament, speaking about Timothy, could speak not only about Timothy's mother, but especially about Timothy's grandmother. And we all have an influence at different levels. Parents, yes. But perhaps some are grandparents. And there are the responsibilities and the privileges of grandparents, of the way in which grandparents also have input and responsibility. Teaching, instructing, molding the character of young ones. Books, TV programs, company to keep. All of these things are shaping their lives, filling in the blank, empty pages. We need to go right to the center. And we need to bring again this vital responsibility, this vital challenge to them, given to us in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's the responsibility that is ours. And we do it using this inquisitiveness in the child. And we gather together all of the material that is given to us in Scripture to set before them the spiritual path, the highway to God. We show to them and we tell them what God has done amongst a nation and a people. The one night when a nation was broken and another nation came into being. The problems they've got to face, and the wisdom and the strength and the grace that is necessary and needful to overcome it. We mean to focus upon God especially and the promises that He's given. The way in which God has committed Himself to them as a people, and the way in which God is committed to His church today, and the way in which God has given promises for us. And we can take these promises and we can hold them before Him that He would fulfill them amongst us. There is the old adage, tell them the old, old story. Tell them about the old rugged cross. Tell them about the goodness of God to sinners, of sending His Son into the world, dying upon a cross. Tell them of His death. Tell them about His inheritance for His people. Tell them about the gift of pardon and forgiveness to those that trust in Him. The responsibility of teaching and instructing children. And as we point them in the right direction, holding this ultimate destination before them, so we've got to hold that same in our minds. We're preparing them at the threshold of life and for death and for God Himself. Life will be a disappointment. Life will be empty for them. No matter how rich it might appear to be. No matter how much entertainment is laid on, and we seem to have more and more coming to us, not just simply in our homes, but we can access information and we can watch TV as we walk along the streets with these little things, gadgets in our hands. No matter where we go, we can speak to our friends. All of these things are coming into life and makes life rich. In a measure. But ultimately life will disappoint us, despite all these things, if we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, as our friend. We therefore point people in preaching, in testifying, we point people in training, in molding, in our homes, we point people to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we want the information in here, in their heads, but we want the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. There are warnings given to us and to them about dangers and reefs in the voyage of life. Warning beacons, but also harbor lights. Young people can be so headstrong. Nothing for it but to learn for themselves from the school of experience. They're not biddable and they're not teachable sometimes. They've got to do it their way. And sometimes their way is a hard way and a hurting way. But we've got to be there to pick them up when they fall apart. And we've got to be there to point them again in the direction that they should be going. And to set before them the Christian pattern and the Christian gospel. And point them especially to the friend that stays closer than any brother. And especially in that headstrong attitude, that they would listen to the advice of an older people and an older generation, maybe not a mother, but a granny, that they might hear the gospel and follow the Lord. The purpose we have then, the purpose of teaching and guiding and instructing our young ones. We come together here this morning. We know the clamor of a week's work, the noise and the din of it echoing in our ears. But here now this morning we listen to what the Lord is saying to us. We need to sit on the edge of our seats with rapt attention to what He is saying, because it's important what He's telling us. And just the same experience as we've got, we can see that time and again repeated in our children. The clamor of life, shouting for their attention. And the way in which in our homes, we've got to shut all these things out. And we've got to bring before them the teaching that is good for their souls. But not only must we teach and instruct as our responsibility is, But we've also got to make sure that we attend to these same things ourselves. Yes, it's one thing to keep on telling and instructing our children, but we've got to know these things to speak of them warmly to them. Speak of them with that personal interest ourselves. We've got to share with them what we ourselves know so that they themselves might follow where we're going. Hear, O Israel. Not only Israel, but ourselves this morning. Hear this. The Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, the covenant God of thy people down through all the generations, we come again before thee conscious of the great privileges which are ours, of hearing the gospel and of living our life according to thy teaching and instruction. And as we seek to do that, O Lord, we would also look to thee for the fulfillment of the privileges that are given to us, that not only for ourselves, but for our children. May we know, O Lord, the work of thy Spirit in our souls and our lives, bringing us to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we, O Lord, as we have read earlier on, be like that publican calling out to thee that thou wouldst be merciful to us as sinners. Lord, that's what we need for ourselves and for our families. Hear us, Lord, and help us and continue with us and bless us in the remainder of our service this morning. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue by singing, this time from Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and from the beginning, attend my people to my law, thereto give thou an ear. The words that from my mouth proceed attentively do hear. My mouth shall speak a parable and sayings dark of old, the same which we have heard and known and us, our fathers, told. We also will them not conceal from their posterity. Them to the generation to come, declare will we. The praises of the Lord our God and his almighty strength, the wondrous works that he hath done, we will show forth at length. His testimony and his law in Israel he did place, and charged our fathers it to show to their succeeding race.